So good morning, everyone. This study basically, sorry, if the other is slightly changed from what is in the abstract, but basically we are going to focus on both of the component of the funding. So basically, this work was undertaken as a part of the HQ research unit, which is funded by the Department of Health, and it builds on data available from the NHS and from the ONS, so publicly available data. And there is the usual disclaimer that applies, as you can see. So this is a brief outline of the study. We will have a background about the policy framework, the aims of the study. We will describe some of the existing findings on the matter. And then we'll talk about the data, the model. We will comment some results. There will be preliminary results, because this is a work in progress still. And also, we also put some points about the possible next steps for the for this analysis. So the background, this is quite a quite general background. We know that in the Western counties, the population, which is old, is getting bigger and bigger, and will keep increasing in the next 20 years, or at least this is the forecast. So basically, this fraction of older people will have combined health and social care needs, and perhaps there should be a way in which those health and social care needs should be met in an integrated way, so that, for example, individuals, they don't get repeated services, or they get a better and more efficient level of service. In England, the government is moving toward a greater integration of health and social care using pooled budgets, basically joining investment between NHS and social care services. So at the moment, healthcare is provided on a national basis mainly, and the social care is provided on a local basis. Again, about the current framework, we can see that in England, the total number of people receiving services, here we are focusing on older people, is declining, both for community-based services, which is the blue bar, and for residential care services, which is the red bar. And symmetrically, also the level of expenditure for older people is declining. Also considering different aggregation of expenditure, for example, including the non-client income, which is the expenditure that comes from sources, for example, the NHS, or pooled budget of local authorities with other bodies. For example, a local authority might pool a budget with another local authorities. Using all of these aggregates, putting them on a chart, you can see that the number of the amount of money is declining. And this means that there is shortage of money, and those money are invested on people that are spent on people that have the most needs. Going back to the joint arrangement, basically in 2013 in England, it has been introduced, the Better Care Fund, which is a £3.8 billion transfer of NHS resources to the local to the social care system. And basically, the scope of that was to improve the healthcare outcomes. While this policy was introduced in 2013, also in the past, there was the possibility to have basically a joint arrangement between social care and healthcare. For example, those were taken at individual local basis. So each local authority, each NHS trust could have decided to join a part of the budgets. So basically, we are going to use the data before the introduction of the new policies to see if we can find some kind of hint whether those joint arrangements can improve, in particular, the health outcomes. So basically, we are summarizing the aims of the study, so to understand whether variation of social care services can improve the health outcomes, in particular, reducing the delay discharges and to reducing the emergency admission. And also to understand whether those outcomes are improved by, in particular, different kind of funding. So, for example, if the joint funding is better than the normal funding of care. And also to understand what are the pattern 2 years. So if there is an improvement, for example, local authorities and the NHS are understanding better how to cooperate, and the effect are maybe getting better in the last years. So just describing what is a delayed transfer of care. Basically, when a person is admitted in the hospital, at some point, of course, probably they would be ready to be discharged. But for some reason, they are not. And usually, those reasons is the lack of post-acute care. So, for example, not acute care or social care services. And basically, although the proportion of delays attributable to social care services is declining, it's still they still are a big part of the total. It's more than 30%. So here you have a chart that explains what is the trend. You see that the blue line is the NHS. Basically, when the delay is caused by, for example, lack of NHS services, and the red line is when the delay is caused by lack of social care services. And the green line is where the cause is mixed. So both lack of social care and health care services. Emergency readmission, which is the other health outcome on which we are going to focus, is defined as the number of emergency admissions that occur within 28 days from the last discharge. And this is used as an indicator of poor health care. Basically, if a person is discharged by an hospital but has to come back perhaps for the same reason, probably they haven't been cared properly at first. And we can see that the overall rate of emergency admission is increasing in the last years. And the reason for readmission can be linked to a poor case management or acquired infection in the hospital, but also, as I was mentioning before, to poor post-acute social care. For example, there is not reablement services or rehabilitation in the local authority where they live, so they need to stay in the hospital to receive those kind of treatment. Existing some findings on the matter. There is a paper published in 2008 from Fernandez and Fodor that basically was suggesting that there is a significant role of the social care services on regarding to the health outcome. So basically, the more are the services provided in the local authority, the better will be the health outcomes, so there will be less delayed discharges and less emergency admissions. However, we have to say that those two output might conflict a bit because, for example, a lower length of stay are associated with higher readmission rates. So, for example, if we reduce the length of stay because we want to reduce the delayed discharges, we might have a readmission. And therefore, we have to look at all of those outcomes together in order to avoid unintended consequences in the system. Just a quick look at the data we are going to use. They come from 150 local authorities, which are basically almost all of the local authorities in England. We are excluded City of London and Isle of Scilly because they are very small, very tiny local authorities. The time of the analysis is between 2008 and 2012. Will be up to 2011 for readmission rates because there is no readmission data available for 2012 yet. And the source, as I was mentioning, is NHS and the ONS. The healthcare outcomes that are going to be used as the delayed transfer of care for acute due to lack of support service. Basically, the data are split so that we know why a person has been delayed from discharge, and we just use the proportion that is due to the lack of support services. And the other outcome is the readmission rate, so the number of admission over the number of discharges. Focusing on the older people, so focusing on the people which are 75 and more. Other variables that are included in the database are the total expenditure for social care for older people, the joint component of the social care expenditure between NHS and the local authority, also between other bodies. Information about local authority, because we want to check for the differences between all of the units of the analysis. And those differences usually are based, for example, on needs or on the cost of the services. So we will focus on we will use standardized mortality ratio, information about the population, perhaps the proportion of female of the proportion of people that are age more than 85. In the data, there are also information about the unit cost of the services or number of people receiving benefits, such as attendance allowance or pension credits. Yeah, maybe, I don't know if you can see a lot because there are plenty of variables, but it's basically some statistics of the analysis. I will just maybe explain some of the most significant. You can see that in the database, the admission rates are about 16-17%, depending on whether we consider people that are readmitted in another local authority, because perhaps a person could be discharged first from an hospital in a local authority and they get admitted in another hospital that is in another place. But of course, those readmissions are important as well. And you can see here that the rate changed between 16 and 17%. It's very tiny, but probably is important. Other information probably that are relevant from this table, you can see that the joint component of the expenditure is just a tiny fraction of the overall expenditure. So it's 2,000 over 33,000. Because this data before the national policy was endorsed, so probably there is a lot of variability, and probably was not the proportion of joint funding was not that high. Okay, we skip the rest of the variable because there is a lot of information and we cannot comment all of it. In terms of empirical modeling, the base is that there is some endogeneity, of course, in the analysis that we are going to make, and we are going to deal with it. Healthcare and social care services, basically, they influence each other, so the offer of healthcare and the offer of social care services, but also those either they influence needs, because of the better the care services, the less will be the needs, but they're also influenced by the needs present in the local authority. So if there's a lot of deprivation, there should be more services provided by the local authority. So there is kind of a circularity between those quantities. And therefore, we are going to use some strategies in order to reduce the problem of endogeneity. The strategy we use at this stage is quite simple. So we are going to lag the social care services received with respect to the dependent variable. So the model we are going to use in the analysis will have the health outcome that might be delayed discharges or readmission rate as a dependent variable, and then covariance will be the volume of services split by residential care and community care, and then information that can proxy for the local authority needs, so the rate of elder people, mortality ratio, standardized mortality ratio, number of people receiving attendance allowance, then we will proxy the cost of providing care within a local authority by using information about rurality of the local authority or the average house price. Another information which is very relevant is the availability of hospital beds in the system. If there is a lot of capacity within a local authority, of course, there will be probably they will be more likely to have readmission or to have delays in discharge. Last variable I want to comment is the pension credits, that basically they are a proxy for income deprivation. So the number of people that are 65 and plus receiving pension credits, which is a benefit that in England applies, of course, to people that have a very poor income. So the hypothesis that we want to test with this model is that a higher volume of social care services improve health outcomes, and that the joint expenditure with NHS provided additional positive effect to the health outcomes. And then those coefficients will be different between community and residential care. Also, another thing is that we want to test whether those effects might change and perhaps increase in the recent years. So basically what I'm putting in this table is two estimates with the admission rates and two estimates with the delay days following the model that I was just presenting. And basically, we can see that the two estimates differ quite a lot. That's perhaps not surprising, because I was mentioning that those outcomes might be a little bit conflicting. Let's go on commenting the readmission rates, which are the first two columns. We can see that apparently there is more admission in the local authority with more female, but there is no effect from the fraction of older people. There is a positive overall effect from the standardized mortality ratio, so local authority with higher mortality will have more readmission rates. And also there is an increasing trend that is consistent to what we know about the readmission, that they are increasing two times, what I was telling in the introduction. We see that the coefficient for attendance allowance, that for us is proxying health needs, is negative at TRAP. This is surprising. It's something that we were not expecting. But the coefficient for pension credits, that for us is proxying the income needs, is positive. So the most the local authorities deprive from an economic perspective, the more will be readmission. Average house price, that control for unit cost, is also unit cost of housing, so probably more affecting residential care, is positive and strongly positive. Also, probably I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting more a negative sign, because you expect a local authority which are richer to have also lower readmission rates. At least this was my expectation. Going on the main coefficient of the model, which are the provision of care services, we can see that the more residential care services there are, the less will be the admission. And this is also confirmed when we split the expenditure by funder. So whether this is funded by the in a joint funding with the NHS or is funded by the client. Although the effect is significant only when we focus on the expenditure which is not jointly funded. When we look at the delayed days, which is the alternative outcome, we see quite of a difference in terms of the population information. So the number of the rate of 85 and plus people matters, while the gender rate doesn't matter. However, this is the sign that I was expecting, so to have a positive effect. So the more the elder people, the more the delayed days. There is a similar effect for the standardized mortality ratio, although the design are reverted, so probably the concavity is a bit different. When we focus on the time dummies, we can see that the delay days of care for acute due to lack of social care services are reducing. And this is consistent with the evidence that we know. The other variables are not found to be significant. So at this stage, you cannot say that there is an effect from residential or social care services, either funded with NHS or not, on the number of delayed days. So this is summarized just what I was mentioning now. So there is evidence that more social care services, in particular residential care, are associated with a reduction in the readmission rates. And those readmission rates are higher in the strategic local authority with more available beds. Perhaps I haven't commented this coefficient, but basically the number of hospital beds is possibly associated with the number of admission. Of course, it's normal, because the more there is availability of space, the more likely will be that individual will be readmitted or stay longer. Economic deprivation, which is proxy in our case by pension credit climates, is possibly associated with the readmission rates, but the same variables do not result significant when we look at the delayed transfer of care. The only thing that we could find for the delayed transfer of care is that there is an increasing, a decline of total time within the system. Also, after controlling for all of the for all of the local covers that we were using in the model. This is the last slide. Basically, there are some ideas for continuing the analysis. So, basically, what we need is now to find out some better data, in particular for what regards hospital beds, because at the moment what we were using was at the level of strategic local authority, which is quite wide in England. Imagine there are just 10 SHA in all England. So we have to collect those local level data, that perhaps they will improve the precision of the analysis, and expanding also the model with more indicators, more appropriate indicators of needs or deprivation. Another idea could be to analyze these effects on selected shorter periods, because probably using the whole length of the panel perhaps is kind of killing some of the possible effects, because as I was mentioning at the beginning, this is a policy that it hasn't started yet. other possibilities to look at alternative health outcomes such as mortality rates, or using instrumental variable methods, or put perhaps more outcomes within a system, so to look at all the outcomes comes together, how they affect each other. And last one, which is also very important, is to try to adopt non-normal estimators, because some of the variables we were looking at are not normally distributed, so perhaps we can improve also the results. That's more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You managed it in 20 minutes, which is very, very good. So, other questions, comments, and things that you'd like to discuss? If you ask a question, could you please tell your name and the institution you come from?
Josh Wiener, RTI International, Washington, D.C. So, for the joint commissioning, what are they? Two questions. One is, for the joint commissioning, what is it that they're doing with the money? And secondly, my impression of home care in the UK was that it was fairly light levels of care, focused on instrumental activities of daily living. So if that's a correct characterization, why would we expect that to affect hospitalization rates?
Okay, first question is about what they do with those money. Basically, the money that come from joint funding are usually, for example, can be used for intermediate care, so something that is between health and social care, and maybe can, I think I mentioned briefly in the presentation, something like reablement or rehabilitation, so some services that can are basically in the middle, so can they can be provided anywhere, and perhaps using integration could be a more effective way to deal with it. The second question is about the level of home care in UK. If this, basically it's mainly helping people with their instrumental needs, so you just doing some tasks that they cannot do by themselves. I don't know if this can be called low level, but basically this is what it is.
Can I just
add to that?
So in terms of the second question, the targeting of home care, in the next 3 years, in the last 3 years, we've seen a huge decline in activity, in state-supported activity in England. So that we calculate that it is standardized by need, it's 40% fewer older people receiving services. And so the people that are receiving services today are receiving intensive care packages because they're very, very dependent. So, you won't get help with housework anymore. That's not going to happen unless you use your direct payment for that purpose, but that's a different story. So in terms of that, what they do with that joint funding is a very good question. And in fact, this care, better care fund that Francesco was introducing is a shift from health, the health money, to the social care money. And all health authorities are saying, well, we don't know how this is going to be used, and we're not sure that it's going to be very cost effective. So what we're trying to do there is to use previous evidence of joint funding, and you don't know exactly what's happening. It might be intermediate care, like Francisco was saying, but in some instances it might be more home care. And it really varies from one local authority to another. So it's a bit of a black box sort of analysis. But it's a very important question.
So this 40% reduction of the use of home care services for the last 3 years.
Sorry, my name is Vicky Moore. I'm coming from New York City. So I'm just interested in this reduction of people actually accessing to the home care services. Has there any sort of different program or integrated program that absorb those population, or that being like more an oppression more onto people more care?
At the moment, it's a mystery, and even local authorities don't know, because when you really cut down the numbers. Of course, if you look at expenditure is not falling at the same rate. So it's those people who are getting the light of their packages that are being cut. And also some voluntary programs, or voluntary organization programs, something like that. But we don't understand why there hasn't been a huge crisis, why people are not, in the doors of the hospital, dying alone. And local authorities can't explain it either. And so we have not very good data about private consumption. But that must be going on. The only proxy you can get is indicators of the numbers of jobs in social care. There's 3.5 million jobs in social care in England, and those have continued to go up. So you need, you know, you can infer perhaps that there's more private consumption, but there's not a good